On today's episode, are you planning for retirement with confidence that you're going to make all the right moves? Well, in today's show, we're going to unveil some of the crucial income planning mistakes that could jeopardize your retirement and show you how to craft a financial plan that's built to last decades, not just years. Today's episode, don't make these income planning mistakes.
It's time for Reengineering Your Finances with the founder of CP Weldy Group, Charles Weldy.
Ready for another great episode with Charles Weldy? I'm Walter Storholt. Thanks for joining us today. Charles, it is good to be with you, my friend. How's life treating you?
Life is good. What is it? We just started spring of 2024, so everything's great. You know, the weather's starting to break. Daylight savings is upon us, and time to get those golf clubs out.
I was just about to say, you must have walked in the garage recently and seen a little shine from the corner of the room off the metal of the clubs, just kind of calling your name, ready to go.
Well, you know what? I actually bought new clubs and I haven't used them yet.
Oh, nice.
They're still in the wrapper. So
they're definitely shiny, right?
Oh, they're shiny, all right. But wait till I get some. After about a month, they won't be shiny anymore.
Nice and dirty, a few nicks and scrapes maybe down near the bottom.
Absolutely.
Love it. What is your, before we get into the show, what is your favorite club? Do you have a club that you just always, I guess with new clubs, you don't know what'll be your favorite club?
Yeah, I think... I'd say probably my favorite club is a 7-iron.
Okay.
You know, from about 135 yards. That's a good club for me.
If you've got to make one shot and you've got one chance, that's the club in the distance you're gonna aim
for.
Well,
it better be a big green, you know?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Those always help just a little bit. Just a little bit. Well, let's talk about these income planning mistakes, and we don't want to do these things. So a lot of the time here on the show, we talk about the things you do want to do, and we'll still get to that as well today, but we're going to kind of frame this in the things that we don't want to do these things when it comes to income planning, which we know from years of doing this show, Charles, you're certainly a big champion of that being an essential part of financial and retirement planning. So let's get this piece of the equation right. We're going to give you at least 5 ways that we see income planning mistakes getting made kind of on a weekly, daily basis, depending on how many folks Charles is meeting with on a particular day. So here's the first one. Don't make this mistake. Don't plan to be retired for years. Plan to be retired for decades. Has this been a change in mindset over the last many years of people having to try and understand this?
Well, you know, realistically, I mean, if you retire at 65 and you're gone at 70, I mean, you don't really need much retirement planning. I mean, 5 years pretty much, you know, goes fairly quick. But, you know, as a general rule, most people, like a couple average age 65, will have a 25 to 30 year retirement. So, I mean, that's what, almost 3 decades of retiring. So they got to deal with, a couple issues. And, you know, probably the biggest issue or one of the biggest issues is short-term market volatility. I mean, they no longer have a paycheck and they got to, you know, have steady income coming in each and every month. So, you know, they have to have a plan for, you know, really like minimizing or getting rid of short-term market volatility. And then obviously long-term inflation. I mean, what's a dollar today going to be worth, 25, 30 years in retirement, substantially less in terms of purchasing power. Rising taxes are a concern, you know, when you have a 25, 30 year retirement. And last but not least, healthcare challenges. I mean, as we get older, you know, the body kind of wears down like a fine machine. And, you know, we find ourselves maybe spending some things on healthcare that really weren't in the budget. So really, like, if you're going to be planning for retirement, plan for a 25, 30 year retirement, not like a short term retirement, because the reality of it is, the longer you plan and the better you plan, you know, it's going to be a lot more confident retirement.
It's a great illustration of how a lot of the time it's not some crunching of numbers that gets us across the finish line. It's just the proper framing. And I think this is a great example of that. If we just go into the planning process with the right mindset that we're planning for decades, not just years, already we're off to a better start than if we began the other way around. So that's a really good example, I think, of that, Charles. Next point that we don't want to make in retirement, the mistake or income planning mistake we don't want to have happen, is to start Social Security too early. We don't want to do that, right?
Yeah, and there's a common joke in the industry, tell me when you're going to pass away and I'll tell you the ideal time to start your Social Security.
We could tell
benefit.
You to the dollar, right?
Exactly. All right. But I mean, realistically, if you start at age 62, which is like early retirement, you know, early Social Security, the only issue there, well, one of the issues there is like there's an earnings limitation. So if you want to make money, you're limited to what you can make. I don't have the exact number on me, but I think it's somewhere around 20,000. If you make more than 20 grand, you got to start giving some of your Social Security benefit back. And that might not be, you know, what you had planned for. If you start at your full retirement age, and that really depends on when you were born, but as a general rule, it's 66, 67 for most people. You know, you're going to get, you know, I guess your full retirement benefit, but the reality of it is a lot of people are still working well beyond their full retirement age, and maybe adding that Social Security benefit to their taxable accounts, you know, their W-2 earnings, maybe could, like, you know, make you give back in the form of income taxes one or two Social Security checks, you know, one or two Social Security monthly checks. So it might be wise for some people to consider waiting till age 70, where they can accrue the highest benefit. And, you know, I guess there's a break even to everything. I mean, realistically, if you started taking it at 62 or 66 or 70, and I think, you know, if you just multiply the number of months and your monthly benefit, you know, up until the age of 80, pretty much the cumulative benefit for all three scenarios is going to be close, you know, to each one. But the only thing different, as I mentioned earlier, is, hey, at 62, you might be limited to what you can make. At 66, 67, you know, a good portion of those Social Security benefits may be taxed, where you're giving one or two monthly checks back to the government in form of higher taxes. And if you wait till you're 70, you know, as a general rule, you get the highest benefit, but you don't want to wait till 70 and pass away at 75. I mean, you know, obviously you lost that race. But I will say this, I'm kind of like focusing on starting your Social Security benefit as an individual, one person. If you're a married couple, Walter, the general rule of thumb is the spouse with the lowest Social Security benefit should take his or her benefit at their full retirement age, and the person with the highest benefit should delay to age 70. And why that's important is, you know, upon the first death, the surviving spouse will get the higher of the two benefits. So, you know, it used to be years ago, you could really plan for Social Security. There was all these like myriad of rules that you could, you know, kind of filter through, but they kind of changed those rules. And for the most part, you know, it's really like just a matter of longevity. If you think you're going to live well beyond age 84, I tell people to postpone it. If you have health concerns and, you know, you don't think you're going to make it till age 80, you know, maybe early and or full retirement age might be the solution. But again, as I said earlier, tell me when you're going to pass away. I'll tell you the exact date to start this benefit.
Yeah, it's always a great point to make there, Charles. Social Security, we can never talk enough about it, even if it's not somebody's central retirement plan, you know, element. It's still such an important piece of the puzzle, so always going to get some heavy attention, I think. All right, another income planning mistake we want to avoid. Don't assume that bonds will be your main source for retirement income. Another one of those change in mindsets, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it used to be like as you get older, you know, you kind of phase out of like being concentrated in equities or stocks and, you know, have more fixed income and or bonds. And the problem is that long term, if you're going to live 25, 30 years in retirement, you got to have equity in your portfolios and you got to stomach, you know, volatility, even in the short term. Let me just kind of give you an example. There's really probably only three potential ways to get income from your portfolio. And, you know, truth be told, I just got back from a bucket training class in Cleveland. And I knew all about this in the past, but I kind of forgot to really articulate. I think it's pretty powerful. So I'll give you an example. Let's say that we needed $30,000 a year in terms of income over and above our Social Security and our pension. Well, let's say we had a portfolio worth $1 million and we could safely get 3%. Well, 3% of $1 million is $30,000 a year. I've got that income gap kind of solved because I just had $1 million making 3% safely over the course of not 1 year, but many years. But the problem there, Walter, is I just tied up $1 million, right? So, and a lot of people, they have money, but, you know, tying up $1 million, you know, really could upset the apple cart in terms of the long-term planning goals. So another potential solution may be what they call spend down. So if I know I need $30,000 a year, I might say, hey, $30,000 a year times 10 years, $300,000. I'm going to take $300,000 of that $1 million and I'm just going to spend that down. Hey, maybe I'll make 1 to 3% interest rate, it might last a little longer than 10 years, maybe 12 years, depending upon the rate of return. But the key is that money's going to be safe. It's going to be there every month. I'm going to pull that out. And what that allows me to do is it allows me to take the remaining balance, $1 million minus $300,000 equals $700,000, and invest it for long-term growth. So instead of having $1 million tied up to give me $30,000 a year, I only have $300,000 that I'm drawing down over 10 years, and I'm investing the $700,000, you know, for long-term growth. So you see where those two things differ?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Like, clear.
And then, like, thirdly, you know, they call it a floor. And a floor is like, hey, we're going to just have income for a certain period of time or for life. And I'll just use an example for life. All right, I might have someone has $1 million, and depending upon their age, let's just say they're in their late 60s, I might say, all right, let's peel off $500,000. And for $500,000, they'll guarantee, they being an insurance company, will guarantee you $30,000 a year for as long as you're alive. Right? So basically, we got that income solved with half of the $1 million. The other half could be invested for long-term growth. So the point I want to make is, you know, when people retire, that's the beauty of getting a plan done. Some people might like that portfolio yield, you know, 3%. Some people might like that drawdown of like, hey, let's spend down and invest the difference and replenish, you know, the bucket, so to speak, you know, 10 years hence. And others might say, hey, I just want some guaranteed income to relieve the pressure of my portfolio. And I can invest the remainder, you know, maybe a little bit more aggressively because I have my income needs pretty much solved, you know, over the next like 10, 20, 30 years.
How about this one, Charles? Hard to imagine somebody making this one now, but perhaps people will still overlook it. Or maybe just in a matter of years, you know, landscape changes and people go back to overlooking this one like they did, you know, for the previous decade or two. And that's to make sure that we don't ignore inflation. This happens more often than you would think, from what I understand.
Yeah, I mean, there's a gentleman by the name of Nick Murray up in New York. He mentored me for many years. I went to a lot of his like workshops, and he has a saying that, you know, every year, everything you buy will cost more. And because of that, you have to create not only an income in retirement, but a rising income to keep up with rising costs. And, you know, if you do the math, I think it's like a 20, 25 year retirement. If inflation is like, you know, baseline 3%, in 20 or 25 years, you will actually lose half your purchasing power. What that means is that, hey, if I had $100,000 that could buy $100,000 today, that $100,000 is only going to buy $50,000 of goods and services 20, 25 years down the road because of inflation. So the problem I see with a lot of retirees, I don't know if it's a problem, but it's a concern, is that they're really gung-ho on protecting their principal, where by focusing on that, they lose sight and they don't protect their purchasing power. So, you know, it's okay to have X amount of dollars in cash, and today cash is paying pretty good, but, you know, but I think historically we can say cash plays 1 or 2%, maybe fixed income 3 or 4%, and maybe stocks 6 or 7%. So the point I want to make is that, you know, we need to not have too much in, you know, safety for principal and really be aware of inflation because, again, every year, everything you buy is going to cost more, and we have to account for that in our income planning.
All right, Charles, one more here on my list, our fifth income planning mistake to avoid. Don't forget to create lifetime income streams other than just Social Security. So we spent all that time on Social Security, but hint, hint, that's not the only place we want that focus.
No, I mean, I don't know what percentage of people today have pensions, but a lot less than have pensions today than had them years ago. And obviously, you know, when you retire, what's really important is like not, you know, what assets you have, but like what income those assets are generating for you so that you can lead, you know, live a lifestyle that's comfortable in retirement and remain comfortably retired. So I would say that there's a gentleman by the name of Tom Hegna, and Tom Hegna is, you know, a great speaker, probably heard the same message maybe like a dozen times over my career. But he has a book called Paychecks and Playchecks. And paychecks really are like maybe your Social Security is going to pay for some of your fixed costs Maybe if you're lucky enough to have a small pension or a pension, you know, your fixed costs are covered. But just about everybody needs a paycheck. You know, obviously they go on vacation. They want to, maybe join the country club or, you know, go on vacations that are, you know, maybe like not standard every so often. They need, you know, not just a paycheck, but a playcheck. And in order to do that, what you would do, Walter, is you would just segregate a portion of your money and you might decide like, hey, like what's amazing is I'm looking at some of these tables that I have of insurance companies that will pay out, you know, X amount of dollars based upon your age. And I'm looking at, I won't name the company, but in your 70s, in your early 70s, if you give them $100,000, they'll give you $8,000 a year as long as you're alive. Well, that's a pretty good payout because a safe withdrawal rate, according to the financial planning industry, is 4%. So if you could get double that 8, you know, it frees up, you know, other money to be invested for future growth, legacy, what have you. What else I want to say about that? The break even, if you gave somebody $100,000 and you get an 8% distribution, in 12 and a half years, you get your money back, you know. So in year 13, you're on their dime, so to speak. So that might not be bad to consider, having other guaranteed or predictable sources of income. And it's been proven, again, this is Tom Hegness saying this, I just remember from the dozens of times I heard him speak, but when people get checks coming in every month, they seem to live longer. You know, it's almost like they're on their deathbed, but hey, you know, that check's coming in on the 12th of this month. I gotta, you know, make sure I'm alive to get it. You know, kind of like a tongue in cheek, but by and large, people that have more guaranteed income and predictable income tend to be happier and live longer, according to Tom Hegna.
All right, great points, Charles. Thanks for filling us in on some great information today. Any other income planning mistakes you would want to throw out there that we should touch briefly on? I know the list could go on and on, I'm sure.
Yeah, I would just say just one other additional is like people, you know, who have plans, you know, and not a lot of people have date, dollar, specific written plans, but people that do have them, you know, they should make sure they get them reviewed periodically. When I say periodically, I would think at least once a year, but, you know, at least every 2 or 3 years at the latest, because obviously circumstances change. And, if the plan's up to date, whatever happens in the market, good, bad, or indifferent, the plan's really the anchor. And I just find that a lot of people who get plans done, you know, not that they don't follow them, but they don't get them updated periodically. And that's really important.
Very good. Thanks for throwing that one in for us as well. So if you've got questions for Charles and you want to learn a little bit more about financial and retirement planning, how to do it properly, how to avoid making some of these income planning mistakes, don't hesitate to reach out. Here are the ways that you can get in touch for a complimentary financial review with Charles Weldy, founder of CP Weldy Group, a certified financial planner and CPA. All you have to do is call 610-388-7705. That's 610-388-7705, or go online to cpweldygroup.com, and we've linked to the contact information in the description of today's show, so you can find that very easily. Charles, thanks for the help. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll catch up again soon.
Thank you, Walter.
All right, thank you. That's Charles, and I'm Walter. We'll see you next time, right back here on Reengineering Your Finances. Financial planning and advisory services are offered through Prosperity Capital Advisors, PCA, an SEC-registered investment advisor with its principal place of business in the state of Ohio. CP Weldy Group and PCA are separate, non-affiliated entities. PCA does not provide tax or legal advice. Insurance and tax services offered through CP Weldy Group are not affiliated with PCA. Information received from this podcast should not be viewed as individual investment advice. Product discussions and illustrations are hypothetical in nature and will vary based on many factors, including but not limited to age, health, product, insurance carrier, and product design. You should consult the insurance carrier website and policy for detailed information. Content may have been created by a third party and was not written or created by a PCA-affiliated advisor and does not represent the views or opinions of PCA or its subsidiaries. For information pertaining to the registration status of PCA, please contact the firm or refer to the Investment Advisor Public Disclosure website, www.advisorinfo.sec.gov. For additional information about PCA, including fees and services, send for our disclosure statement as set forth on Form ADV from PCA using the contact information herein. Please read the disclosure statement carefully before you invest or send money.